This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Bar None, the sports show that covers every kind of sport you can think of to inspire a new and active you. Good morning there, I'm Audrey Raj. This week, Angeline Tay and I discovered that Malaysia is truly a golfing haven. Up-and-coming American golfer David Lipsky tells us about Malaysia's pull factor, and we talked to the organisers of the World Golf Awards, which recently named Malaysia Asia's top golfing destination. And which Malaysian golf course was recently chosen as the best new golf course in the world? Stick around to find out. This is Bar None, BFM 89.9. I think it's really ironic, Angie, that on Valentine's Day, we're discussing an activity that some women blame for keeping their husbands too busy on the weekends. Golf.
Never thought of that, but the timing couldn't be more perfect, Audrey, because Kuala Lumpur just played host to the Maybank Malaysian Open last weekend at KLGCC.
Yes, it's another sporting event that stands out on our sport tourism calendar, attracting big names in golf over the years. I think it's been 10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's been 10 years. Over the years, we've had Rory McIlroy, Louis Oosthuizen, Martin Kamer, Charles Schwartzel. All of them have come down to KL. This year, Lee Westwood returned to defend his title. Graham McDowell was there. Thai legend Tongtai Jaidi, he was also in contention. But India's Anirban Lahiri finally walked away with the title come Sunday afternoon.
Yes, Audrey. Anirban took home almost 1.8 million ringgit with the win and moved him to the top of the order of merit standing so far. Coincidentally, I got to speak with last year's Order of Merit winner, David Lipsky, at KLGCC. Watch out for this guy. He's only 26 and he could be the next big name in golf. David Lipsky is an American professional golfer who currently competes on the Asian and European Tour. He turned professional after graduating in 2011 at the age of 23, and he rose to fame just a year later by winning the 2012 Honda Faldo Cambodian Classic, and last year even won the Omega European Masters. David is gunning for bigger things this year, I'm convinced, after our quick chat last week. How are you enjoying the Malaysian Open so far?
Well, yeah, I'm loving it. This is my fourth time here, and every time I come back, I really enjoy Kuala Lumpur, and especially this golf course. So, I made the cut this week. I'm playing okay, and I'm looking forward to playing well tomorrow.
This is not your first time in Malaysia. So what were the previous times like?
I've come back for Maybank. I played in Johor, and I played in CIMB, and at two different courses, but that was in KL as well. And every time I've come here, it's the golf has been fantastic. The weather's been a little hot, but it's better than cold, so I've really enjoyed it.
You picked up your first Asian Tour title in your rookie year, and that's really impressive.
Yeah, it was actually my third event. I missed the first two cuts, and I won the third event, and then finished second and third in the next two events. So I started out really hot, and I was fortunate enough to win in the playoff.
Did you always know that you'd be a professional golfer one day?
No, I actually went to college planning on, finding a normal 9-to-5 job, to be honest. But each and every year in college, it got better and better. And after a certain point, after talking to my coaches, they're like, well, we think you're good enough to turn pro. So that's when I gave it a shot.
Was there a special role model in your life that drove you to pursue in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say my coach in college was a huge influence to me. He's always been supportive, still is, and he's helped guide me because I went to Northwestern. His name's Pat Goss, and he still works with Luke Donald as well. So he's a really good person, an important person in my life. Right. Yeah.
And then are there other professional golfers that come up from the same school that you went?
Yeah, there are. There's Luke Donald, obviously. There's a couple guys who are playing, web.com tour. A couple guys who've been on and off the PGA tour. Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's here this week, went to my school for a year. So, yeah, there's quite a few alums.
I heard that you were at one point balancing your studies with playing golf at the same time. Was focusing on both an important choice for you?
Yeah, I mean, I went to a really good school in the U.S., and, it was important to me and my parents to get a good education. And, with the golf, it was tough to balance both, but it was something that, I thought I had to do, not just for golf or for my studies, but, just for my overall life.
Tell us about your first professional win.
My first professional win was in Cambodia. It was in Siem Reap, and at that tournament I just wanted to make the cut because I hadn't made a cut in my first couple of events. I played well enough to make it into the weekend. I think I was top 20 at that time. And, you know, I had a really good final day. I think I shot 7 under, maybe 8 under. I forget exactly. Put me in a playoff and chipped in the playoff. So, you know, it was a really special moment, and especially because, you know, Nick Faldo, who designed the course, was there, and he came up to me after I won and said, I thought you were going to chip that one in. So, yeah, it was pretty inspiring to me, as, you know, it was my third professional event ever. So.
And what about the Omega European Masters, your breakthrough European Tour victory, and that final shot in the 18th was crazy.
Yeah, well, there are a couple crazy shots in the 18th. There was the one in regulation and the one in the playoff. Obviously, you know, it meant a lot to me, and, you know, it helped me win the Order of Merit last year on the Asian Tour. But yeah, those shots were pretty special. The wedge shot from the fairway in regulation that almost went in, and, you know, the chip shot from the rough that, you know, ended up trickling up to 2 feet to lock up the victory. So both of those, you know, I can still remember, you know, clear as day right now.
2014 Asian Tour Order of Merit. Were you expecting that accolade?
Not necessarily. I mean, I got off to an okay start of the year. You know, I was making cuts, but hadn't played well on the weekend. And then, you know, I finished second in Singapore, and that put me up there. I think I was second or third at the time on the Order of Merit. And then, you know, we have a long break on the Asian Tour. And then I was fortunate enough to get some invites to some European Tour events before the Omega Masters, which I think helped, because it helped me get ready and to play there. And, you know, it's obviously, it played well in Switzerland. So, you know, it was a huge accomplishment.
And then you're half Korean and your mother's side. What was it like for you when you traveled to Korea and compete in the Ballantines? It was your first visit to Korea?
Yeah, that was my first visit to Korea ever. And it was funny because I don't really speak Korean. I understand it like a little bit, and I'm okay, but everyone just assumed I could speak Korean. So I was just like, I had to shake my head and say, sorry, I don't understand most of the time. But it was a little embarrassing. But, you know, it was fun to be in Korea and, you know, see where my family came from. My mom actually flew over with some of her friends, and I got to see Seoul, which was really nice.
What's been the biggest challenge for you so far, competing on tour?
The biggest challenge is probably, you know, it's a very long season. It's year-round, and you just have to pick and choose your schedule. And, you know, it's hard to stay fresh all the time, because you have to play so many weeks in a row at points. So managing your schedule and managing the travel is probably the toughest part that people don't realize. And that's what takes most getting used to, I think.
Right. And then, so then what keeps you going on? What motivates you?
Oh, I mean, I just love the game. You know, my goal is always to get better at golf and to see how good I can get. And, you know, it's been my goal since I turned professional, since I was a little kid, to be honest. So, you know, that's what motivates me, is to see how good I can be.
And then, what's the end game here? You know, how do you plan to leave your mark in the world of golf?
You know, hopefully with a couple more wins and, you know, obviously I want to, coming from the United States, want to play back on the PGA Tour at some point. But I'm in no rush. I'm enjoying my time in Europe, enjoying my time in Asia, and, you know, it'll eventually happen. So,
any long-term plans for life after golf?
No. practicing and playing golf right now occupies most of my time, so I can't even think of what I would do after.
Any advice for budding golfers?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the most important thing, if you're aspiring to be a professional, is to, you know, enjoy it and don't be too hard on yourself, because, you know, professionals hit terrible shots too. So it's not like we play perfect golf.
That was last year's Order of Merit winner David Lipsky. When we come back, we speak to the organizers of a very creative, unconventional competition that's happening on a golf course. It's not golf, by the way. And we also reveal the winner of the best new golf course in the world for 2014. Hint, hint, it's right here in Malaysia. This is Bar None, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you're still with Bar None, your sports and fitness lifestyle guide. I'm Audrey Raj.
And I'm Angeline Tay. Late last year, Audrey and I were invited to witness the launch of a very special new golf course in Langkawi, the Els Club Telok Datai.
It was beautiful. I cannot describe how gorgeous it was. The course itself was really well thought out. And to our surprise, and of course, many golfers are really happy to hear this, this 18-hole golf course had